the Old Testament book of Hosea, chapter 1. I want to introduce you to a man tonight, a very special man. This man is one of those illustrious characters whom the Holy Spirit used to write part of the Bible. This man's name is Hosea, and he is the author of one of the 12 so-called minor prophets. They are called minor because not that their message was not important, but compared to the others, such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, their messages were quite brief comparatively. This man, Hosea, prophesied during the reign of four kings in Judah, the one after another. So he exercised a long ministry, did Hosea. And then in his own country, which was Israel, Israel being the 10 tribes to the north, and Judah and Simeon being the two tribes to the south, which went under the name of Judah, Hosea's ministry was to the northern part of the country. Now, his prophecy has been described by one commentator as the heartbeat of God. And it's quite easy to understand why whenever we read the prophecy. It's really showing us God's great love for those who had broken his heart. Now, this man's speciality, I said he was a very special man, and I chose the word carefully. His speciality and singularity is seen in, as well as those things I've mentioned, but chiefly in this, the great sorrow under which he exercised his ministry. He was a man who had suffered heartbreak, and it was of a domestic nature, and it concerned an unfaithful wife. This man and his prophecy was particularly used of God, and the circumstances especially that he went through was all in the plan of God in order to show in a most vivid manner the love that God has for fallen people and his desire to reclaim them from their sinful ways that they may be restored to him. This will become clear to us as we observe this man tonight. So I invite you to think with me about Hosea and look at him and the circumstances from four different angles or perspectives. First of all, I want you to notice the marriage that he entered upon. We have that in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, so we need to go back and look at these verses. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. What a strange, startling, and difficult command to obey. Now, expositors are different on this particular point. It's not a big issue as far as it's going to affect the story is concerned. Some of them say, yes, God told this man to go and marry one who was a whore or a harlot, and it was in order to vividly illustrate a great truth. And then there are other people and say, no, he was told to go and marry a woman. No doubt he had sought the Lord, as we'll see in a moment, that's important to do. But it was only after they were married that she turned out to be the kind of woman that she turned out to be. Now, good commentators or good expositors come down on either side. I'm not going to commit myself tonight because it's not easy, but I think there is something to be said for the fact that this woman turned bad after they were married. But the point that concerns us here is that here's a man. He fell in love with this woman. She obviously fell in love with him. They got married. And a child was born. And so far, so good. Notice the child, verse 3. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived, and bare him. Mark that word, him. Bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu. There was a significance to that name. And even though it was a portent of something hard and difficult to come to Israel by the naming of the child, yet for all of that, it seems that Hosea and Gomer had a very happy relationship, a very happy home. Now, marriage is meant to be that way. Of course, human nature being what it is, temperaments and personalities being what they are, there'll be friction at times, there'll be perhaps a clash of personalities. The different people that make up the marriage will look at doing a thing one way, another will look at it another way. But these things can be easily overcome. And for all of that, a very happy and enduring marriage can take place. Let me stop here and say it to young people that are contemplating marriage. I suppose it's everybody, and especially a young girl, but everybody, it's their desire to wed someday. Well, make sure, first of all, that you pray about the matter. You will never make a decision more important next to your decision to receive Christ as your Savior than marrying the person whom you marry. So make sure that you talk about the matter. Whenever you and your girlfriend or boyfriend are discussing marriage, talk it over carefully. Find out all you can about each other so that whenever marriage comes, you'll not be in for any great shock afterwards about someone. And then make sure especially that you have God's mind and God's choice for you. The marriage he entered upon. And then notice secondly, the misery he suffered. Things began to go wrong. I want you to notice chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Say ye unto your brethren, Am I, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight. The misery that this man has suffered now is the fact that already he has had his suspicions about her, but now it's out in the open. She has been flirting around. She has been cheating on him. She has been behaving immorally. She has broken the marriage bond. I asked you earlier to notice the word him whenever Jezreel was born. Notice it again, verse 3. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. Notice verse 6. And she conceived again and bare. No word of the word him here. She bare a daughter. It does not say she bare him a daughter. Notice verse 8. Now when she had weaned Lo Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. She did not bear him a son. It seems, and this is where expositors are practically united, that this woman had these two children to another man or to other men. And Hosea realized he was not the father of these boys at all, or this boy and the sister Lo Ruhamah. Again, there was a lesson here for him. He wanted to call this second child, verse 6, Ruhamah, which means desired and loved. But God says, oh no, call her name Lo Ruhamah, which means not loved, not desired. And the same again with Lo Ammi in verse 9. He wanted to call the child Ammi, which means mercy. And God says, no, Lo Ammi, which means no mercy. In other words, it was an object lesson to Israel But it meant that these children were children that even though Hosea was going to adopt them as his own, the poor children were not going to be loved, were not going to have that mercy from their biological father. The whole home life was in a mess because of this wife, this unfaithful, immoral wife, Gomer. And then notice chapter 2 and verse 5. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that hath conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Here's a woman who had many paramours. And if they could keep pouring the pleasures for her, she was willing to abandon home life, her husband and children, and go out and live in an immoral fashion. She was cheating him. She was belittling him. She was scorning him. She was so unfaithful to him and to her own children that she had mothered. And all of this was weighing heavily upon this man. A man who was trying to do the service of God. A man who loved his God. Who loved his country. Who loved his wife and family. And he was treated in a despicable way. What a burden the man had. What misery the man suffered. But notice the consequences for her. Verse 2 of chapter 3. So I bought her to me. For 15 pieces of silver and for an omer of barley and an half omer of barley. We'll come to that in a moment. But the point I want you to notice is that this woman had gone on and on and on in her sinful way. She became disillusioned. She found herself eventually in the slave market. There have been different ways that this has been described, how she came to be there. Generally, while they differ on the detail, of course you can only use a sanctified imagination because we don't have the full detail. But it seems that the poor woman was used for all of these paramours to take their turn out of her. And now she's on the scrap heap. No more a beautiful woman, but filthy, despised, worn out, used, abused, just as she had maltreated her own husband and children, only in a different sense. And the last one who had her feels the only use he has for her now is to make a few shekels out of her. And so she's found in the slave market. I want to say, my dear friend, that this is where sin will lead people to wreck and ruin. We cannot but feel sorry for Hosea and his children. But I would say a wee warning tonight, word of warning to us all tonight, to husbands and wives, from this story. Take care what you watch with your eyes, whether it's television or magazines. And both of them, there's any amount of seductiveness, even in the very advertisements of advertising harmless, legitimate goods, how they manage to make them tacky and seedy for an ordinary, everyday product that baffles the imagination. But there's a subtlety in all of this, and it can influence people. Same with magazines. Same with newspapers. Take care what you let your eyes see. Be wary of what you hear with your ear. Whether it's in the office, or the factory, or the drinking dens, or wherever else, what you can listen through your ears can stir up passions and emotions. Mind where you let your feet take you, especially if you're married. Remember our wedding vows to our spouses. We're living in a society which has been described as permissive. And there is more pressure on marriages now than ever there has been. Marital infidelity and promiscuity is not viewed with the same horror that it was generations ago and the way it ought to be. And Christian marriages are not accepted from this. It happens to us as much as to the others. But then notice in the third place, not only the marriage he entered into, not only the misery that he encountered, but notice the mercy that he displayed. What a man. Hosea, although he was within his rights to do so, did not seek to be divorced from his wife. He loved her so much. He sought his fallen wife's restoration in return. His heart was broken for her. He really loved this woman, even in her state of infidelity and immorality. By this stage, his children have grown up a bit. Notice chapter 2, verse 1. Say ye unto your brethren, Am I, and to your sisters, Ruamah. Plead with your mother. Plead, for she's not my wife. In other words, she's not living with me. You children know the estrangement that we have undergone. Neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight. These children had grown up to the stage now that they knew of their mother's infidelity. And Hosea comes and says, Children, I have tried so many times. Will you plead with her on my behalf? Will you talk with her? See, will she have some sense and quit her sinful way? Notice chapter 3 and verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet love a woman, the loved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel. Even though she had committed such wickedness, God was in this. He says, Hosea, go and try and get her back. The man didn't need much pressure put upon him. He loved her still. Ladies and gentlemen, I would put to you tonight, let there be feelings on our part for people whose marriage has failed and who are suffering the consequences of a faithless spouse who may have deserted her loved one or his loved one, whatever the case is, for someone else. Feel some tenderness for the person who has been hard done by in all of this, especially when there has been immorality involved. I was reading today, it was got nothing to do with this, but it seems appropriate. There's an effort made to reach the unchurched people. This young husband and his wife, they were doing well. The business that he was in began to prosper, and before they were both 30 years of age, they were high up in the business. They had such a lovely home in the suburbs of the big American city. And they loved each other. They had a couple of young children. Never would have gone to church except maybe every year they might have dropped in once. Maybe had left it. But over a period of 10 years, they never showed much interest in church. And she said, Do you not think maybe we should get the children to Sunday school and get them a wee bit of religious education? He says, see to it if you want. And the result was that because he wasn't interested, she wasn't interested. He began to be working later at night. And he began to be distancing himself from his wife. And she realized there was something not right. And she realized, without being jealous about it, that in the work, he had to be in company with another woman because she was part of a team. One night he came in, out of the blue, he says, I'm leaving you. He says, I really love this, and he mentioned the girl's name. And within a very short time, the marriage had broken up. Could you not help but feel sorry for that girl who was she'd left work in order to devote herself to the children and thought, and she was doing a great thing because there are not too many people would have been willing to make sacrifices like that. She had a good position, but she felt her duty was in the home with the growing up children. And her husband did that to her. That's repeated. Probably the other way around on occasions.
But we should have feelings
and not say, oh, there's somebody with a broken marriage that mustn't have been behaving themselves.
We never know what goes on in a home or what goes on in the lives of two people like that. But if someone is definitely being cheated upon, we ought to have sympathy and feelings for that person to some degree.
This man, look at the lengths he went to.
He said to his children, you plead for her, but tell her she's got to give up her sinful ways. And then God sent him to go and inquire. And again, she had to put away her harlotry.
And this poor man went down to see this particular woman, and he was willing to bankrupt himself in that slave market. Why? Did you notice the price? 15 shekels. The Bible says that 30 shekels was the price of a slave. This slave owner, probably our paramour, he was only too willing to take half of that. Now, why did Hosea pay the 15 shekels or the 15 pieces of silver and an omer of barley, then another half omer of barley? Where does all this come in? It appears that he couldn't get the rest of the money. So he gave in kind for it. He got as much of the barley as he could to make up the price. In other words, he gave and he gave and he gave until he had nothing left. He had purchased her and in so doing bankrupt himself. The mercy he displayed, the marriage he entered into, the misery he suffered, the mercy he displayed. And then lastly, I want you to see the message that he and the circumstances enacted. All of this that happened literally. But there was a great purpose in God allowing this to happen. You would have thought that the last thing the man needed were burdens in his home life whenever he was burdened for the nation. But God let him go through the crucible for some reason. I want you to notice, follow this out very carefully. A great truth was being represented here. Notice chapter 1 again and verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, the children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom departing from the Lord. Gomer is representing the land of Israel here. And her sinful, wicked ways is indicative of the spiritual idolatry and immorality and adultery that the land was committing. And this is what we noticed this morning in Jeremiah, that whenever the land was said to depart from God, whenever the land was said to go to idolatry, it was looked upon by God as adultery and unfaithfulness, and he used the marriage relationship to describe that. Now you have it again in chapter 3 and verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel. Now what he's saying is, Hosea, just as Gomer will and has deserted you, so has this nation done to me. I'm going through spiritually with heartbreak with what my people have done to me, the way that you're going through with the desertion of your wife. Only it was worse so for the Lord. Without going into the detail, the name of his children, Jezreel, we've seen that it meant judgment was coming. Lo Ruama meant that she was not desired. Lo Ami meant that he would not have mercy. Gomer's waywardness, running away from God, will take his blessings and benefits, but we don't want him. This woman was glad to live in Hosea's home as long as she could. But when she saw her opportunity to get out and run after these other men, she took it. And we love the blessings of God, don't we? We love to have good health. We love to have good food. We love to have nice homes. We like to have good jobs. We like to have nice things. Who gives them to us? The blessing of God, it maketh rich. God sends these good things, but we don't want God interfering in our lives. We want to do our own thing. We want to have all of these things and not realize that it's God's goodness that's the source from which they come. In her hopelessness and shame, she ended up in the slave market. And my dear friend, that's where sin, if you go on in your sin rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, you will end up in a terrible way. The bondage that you're already in will intensify. And I want you to notice, it's to the slave market that God comes looking for you and me, as Hosea did for Gomer. And just as Hosea bankrupted himself to set her free, to pay the price, so the Lord Jesus Christ has given his very life and shed his precious blood in order to purchase the captive who's a slave and in utter ruin. That's what the Lord has done. By the payment of a price. God's commandment to Hosea was to go after her and try to get her back before she repented. And the Lord Jesus Christ in loving kindness came after us before we even thought of him. He called me long before I heard. Before my sinful heart was stirred, God was looking for us in the person of Christ on the cross. 2,000 years ago, he's been searching for you and me. The whole purpose of it is to leave our whoredoms, to leave our sin. This word whoredom here just is the word to use for our sin, whatever it is. To leave it, to repent of it, and to be reconciled to the Lord God Almighty. This is the message of Hosea's circumstances. This is the message of Hosea's action. Let me say in closing two things. Number one, God can heal families that are drifting. He can heal families that are collapsing. There was a man once, he was an awful drinker. Day and night he drank, but he got wonderfully converted. Another drunkard was watching him. There was a great change in the man's life. And one night, after a few months, this other fella came to preacher, and he says, I've been watching old, and he mentioned his name, and he says, could God do for me the way he did for him? And the preacher assured him that he could. He says, well, I want what that other man had. And the preacher told him, he'd have to take Christ as a Savior and trust the Lord. He says, I'm prepared to do that. And he knelt with the preacher, and he turned from his sin and put his trust in Christ. As soon as he was leaving the preacher's room, he mentioned the preacher by name. He says, I want you to go now to my wife. I want you to tell her what's happened, because she's in the process of divorcing me. She's had enough of me the way I've been living. The preacher said he would call down and see his wife that week. Went in and had a word with her. And she laughed. She mentioned his name. Huh, saved? He knows nothing about it. He's only using you. He's only trying to get out of the mess that his drink has got him into. She says, saved? He has no idea. And the preacher mentioned the woman's name and says, you know, I think something definitely has happened to him. She wouldn't believe it. So he went back to the husband of the woman, and said, you know, we're going to have a hard job here. She doesn't believe a word that you've got saved. We are going to have to show her that it's real. So day by day, the man came by the preacher's room in the church where the preacher would have been down studying and carrying out church business. And they would have had a time of prayer. And this happened for a few months. And then one day, the former drunkard came in. He says, preacher, I think she's beginning to see the change in me. Would you go down and speak with her again? He says, I'll give it a few days and I'll go down. Went down to the house and found her a completely different woman. Began to talk to her again, and she says, you know, sir, I really think there's a change in him. The divorce had not come through. He says, would you give it another go? She
She broke down and cried. She says, I will. I've seen a change in him that I've never seen before. And he says to her, it's really more than a go. You really need to take Christ as your Savior too. Would you take the Lord as your Savior? Here and now. She began to cry. And she says, I will. And she got converted. And what a change came over the both of them. After a few years, he became one of the leading office bearers in the local church. They had two children, and one of them was in Bible college studying for the mission field, and the other one was doing Christian work in another way. What a family! The grace of Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ and His redeeming blood came into that home. After seeing what happened to another drunkard. Our homes, if we will hand them over to the Lord, can be fortified and protected by the same God and His grace. We'll only hand ourselves over to Him. The second thing I want to say is this. Forgetting about the home. Forgetting about the nation. Just yourself as an individual. If you're in this room tonight not saved, God has been following you out week by week, day by day. He wants to tell you tonight, He loves you. His Son has gone to the slave market and paid redemption's price to bring you back. Will you submit to Him? Will you go with Him? Will you trust Him? Will you receive Him? Let's bow together in prayer. O God, our Father, we thank Thee for Thy wondrous grace that we have been looking at tonight. And the fact that we're here alive and well indicates we've also been recipients of it. We thank You for that grace that has brought us safe thus far, that grace that has removed the blindness from us. That grace that even now is softening hearts. That grace which is lighting up expectations that lives can be wonderfully changed and transformed by Thy power. Lord, we thank You for this prophecy of Hosea. We've only looked at one aspect of it tonight, but oh, how the love of God comes through time and time again. We ask, Lord, that You would bless Thy word to us. People are having a hard time in the home. Give grace. Help them. Encourage them. If they love Thee and want to serve Thee. And if they want to do what's right. And they're having difficulty from others in the family. Lord, enable them like Hosea to triumph. We pray for those who like Gomer have erred. Have gone astray from the paths of virtue. We pray that Thou wilt bring them back to purity and sanity again. And we pray that Thou wilt work a mighty work in lives tonight, all over this place and throughout our town and throughout the land. Thank You for the glorious gospel. Thank You for Thy marvelous love that has followed us so far and done so much to receive us and to bring us into Thy family, to make us heirs of Thyself and joint heirs with Christ, and to give us a mighty inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. May this be the experience of all of us here tonight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.